Hey, welcome to the Fire You Carry podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Kevin Welsh.
I'm Noel Lilly.
And we have our third esteemed guest, our constant, our soldier, Sergeant Mike Kenobi.
Sarge.
Hi.
Hey, he's back, baby.
Yes.
What do you got for us, Noel?
So today we just wanted to jump on and do a really quick podcast about a challenge that we're doing, the three of us here at the fire station, but also at home. So I got an email from a company called 10,000. They make some workout equipment. I have their shorts. I use their shorts almost exclusively for exercise. Oh. They're not cheap, but they hold up really well. I like them a lot. This is not a paid advertisement. You they do not know that we exist.
Send us some shorts though.
10, yeah, 10,000. Good year. I'm actually wearing them right now.
Might be a large after this month though.
Got to get them thighs into them shorts. All right. So this is the email that I got. I'll just read the first part of it. As athletes, our focus often lies primarily in improving our physical strength. However, solely building up our athletic capabilities is useless if we aren't also training the mental support system that allows us to reach our physical peak. Ultimately, from powerlifting to ultramarathons to rucking, our most challenging fitness endeavors are stopped not by lack of physical skill, but instead by our ability to endure mental strife. However, when we commit to conquering challenges and not letting mental blocks stand in the way, our ability to dig in, tap into our unseen strength, and press through exhaustion separates success from failure. That's why this month we're focusing on mental endurance. It's time to kick summer malaise in the ass and fully commit to going all out and becoming a more mentally strong athlete.
Yeah.
So in the spirit of that, we chose one of their challenges because it was kind of like something we were already doing. We've already been doing a lot of lunging in the morning, usually after our workout.
But it hasn't been consistent.
No.
Day here, a day there.
But in the past, I'd say like 3 or 4 months, we've built up to the ability to do 400 meters of walking lunges. And we do it, the three of us together. And we weren't timing it. We were just doing it. We measured out 50 meters and went back and forth 8 times for a total of 400 was the highest we ever got. So this challenge is from someone named Tony Nash, and this is what it says. An active duty major in the U.S. Army's Field Artillery Branch and current graduate student at Cornell University, Tony Nash will complete 500 meters of walking lunges per day. The walking lunges, which represent the common military practice of taking a knee, will be a daily practice that will force him to push deeper and further through hardship and adversity. Tony is committing to this challenge to embody everything that taking a knee means in the military. It is a sign of respect that's shown to a fallen brother, a defensive maneuver used on patrol, a manner of gaining perspective, and a way to honor the 20 military personnel that succumb to suicide every day. Mm. So we chose 400 meters because we'd gotten up to that point. We felt like that was a good solid number that we could actually do every day for the next 30 days.
That's also challenging.
Right. That is also hard to do. Mentally. So that's what we picked. The lunges jumped out at me. There are a couple other cool challenges in that email. And if you'd like to see some of the other ones, we'll put a link up to it in the show notes. But the lunges jumped out at me for a couple of reasons. One, we were already doing them. And then two, I really liked the shift in focus on taking a knee, because obviously that's a really big political thing right now. Mm. And personally, as a veteran and self-described patriot, I don't appreciate the taking of a knee that's happening in our culture right now. And so to take that and to say, hey, we're shifting the focus, at least in our small group, to be something more positive, to remember the guys that are taking their own lives, to gain a new perspective and to honor our fallen brothers. I thought that was actually a pretty cool call out by, was it Major Tony Nash? Mm. So I sent that email off and immediately Mike and Kevin were both in. So we are on day 3 of our lunges.
Yeah. Day 3. You got it. It's a challenge. Today I was sore as hell.
I would say this right up front before we get too deep into this. If you're not somebody who does walking lunges, do not go out and try to do 400 meters of walking lunges.
I'm not going
to
hold you back. Lunge it out.
Because your body will probably do it. Like if you've got any kind of base level of fitness, you'll be able to do it. But 2 to 3 days later, you are going to pay a heavy price. You won't be able to get out of bed, walk up the stairs. So
I disagree. Lunge.
All right. Kevin says go.
Just feel the pain.
Just start do it.
200.
Whatever.
Yeah. Start lighter.
You're right. Do 200.
But if you've got, you know, if you've got the desire to challenge yourself and build up some of that mental strength, this is something that you could join us in whenever you're listening to this and pick something, make it a target, and go for it. And don't let yourself find an excuse on day 3 or 15 or whatever it is when it gets hard. That's when the mental toughness aspect of challenges like this comes into play.
Yeah, and I've heard of it from the Muscle Farm guy who was on, was he on Tim Ferriss's podcast? Oh, he's on Rogan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the Muscle Farm guy has done a mile of lunging.
Yeah.
He's done one lap. And he's jacked. He looks fit, physically fantastic. And he had recovered from like a back injury, a knee injury. He had surgeries. And everyone told him not to do it. And he said that he's thriving from it. His base is so strong. His powerlifting numbers went up. Everything got better when he started lunging. And I think he consistently does 400 meters a day.
Yeah.
And then sometimes he does a mile.
That's so crazy.
But he's a savage. And I have to look him up and see what his name is. But fascinating podcast. I think he was on Rogan. He talked
was it
about,
Stan Efferding?
No, that's the Rhino.
Oh.
But
oh yeah,
he is a pretty cool guy. And he basically, that's what sparked us trying to do.
Right. That's why we started out the lunging in the first place.
Consistent.
Yeah.
We got to do a mile. Oh yeah, once God. We're done. 30 one, after 30 days.
One day we can do
one mile. No, after 30 days.
Can we get like a
we're gonna
day
do
of
one
rest?
Mile and have that chicken McNugget off.
Day 31 is a mile.
Day 31's a mile and the chicken McNugget off.
Instant death.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it will be.
The interesting thing about lunging, since that's what we're talking about, is it turns out to be a pretty good cardio workout if you just keep plugging away at it.
Yes.
If you keep moving, your heart rate goes up because you're using your biggest muscle group over and over and over again. And your heart rate will get going. It's actually pretty good.
Well, we've still been working out. And
true.
So I'm not going to say it's the heat that's causing. Well, we've been working out, but then we sweat like it's going out of style when we're lunging.
It's been really hot.
Well, but we're not sweating like that during the workout like we did that Tabata.
No, you're right.
And then we weren't dripping like we were when lunges or the same thing. We did Kevin's workout the other day and we weren't sweating like when you're lunging, you're like pouring.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. The guy's name is Corey Gregory. He was involved with Muscle Farm.
And there we go.
And he's, check it out, Lunge University. But yeah, you're right, Mike. Like I was pouring. You know how some people have different sweat rates. I am not like a huge sweater where some people just stand there and sweat. And I am like pouring sweat, like where my shorts, my socks were soaked. My shorts were soaked. So there's something I think about using the large muscle groups. You know, you got your quads, hamstrings, your glutes. Like it's large muscle groups that you're just for it took me 17 minutes.
17:30.
30 seconds. So almost 18 minutes of lunging, which is pretty substantial, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a long time. It's definitely better. I mean, it's going to be difficult, but if you can find a buddy to do it with, doing it with somebody to talk to while you're doing it, it makes a huge difference versus just grinding it out by yourself. Obviously the mental aspect of it, you'd be probably training it harder if you were doing it on your own, but we will be doing it on our own when we're at home.
Mike, trying to get the wifeys on board.
Yeah. Mike got his wife to do 200 meters.
Well, we'll see. Today's day 2. She's supposed to do it. But
yeah, but that's already
hadn't done it yet.
That's already a big victory.
It's
dude.
A success. Because you got wife success. Mama's approval. That means that you can go do it on your off day.
That's perfect. Yeah, take that 20 minutes.
Yeah. 20 minutes is hard to come by.
It is, especially when you got the little kids.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That's great.
I think for me, I honestly don't usually open emails like that. I get a lot of, you know, like everybody, a lot of promotional like spam emails, but in the title was something about 500 lunges. So because we were doing something similar, I opened it. And then when I read the part about the mental aspect of training, that was obviously right up our alley. Cause as firemen, we believe that there is a possibility that at some point in our career, we could end up in a situation where your mental fortitude could be what saves you or saves your buddy. Your ability to work through absolute hell and survive long enough to either get rescued or to rescue somebody. So we train that in a lot of different ways. We don't always like consciously talk about it, but for example, like we talked about before, getting in the ice bath on a regular basis and how every time that's a mental challenge. Now we've been doing some of the lunging and we're on day three. So obviously it was, I think probably yesterday was the more difficult day for me because you were going off and we had to get it done quick. And
yeah,
we had had a rough night. We were up a lot and I just didn't want to do it.
We did not sleep.
But we did it.
Yeah, it was good. And Mike was talking about, I'd love to hear what you're saying. Like, we do legs all the time. And now we're doing legs, heavy legs every day with lunging. But I do think that like, you build that base and like everything else improves. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. Everything. I feel like my feet are better. Like, right. I have had plantar fasciitis in the past. Mm. I have super flat feet. I feel like I have arches somewhat.
Wow.
Not from just getting started. I'm just because we've been doing lunges.
We've been
lunges
doing it for a long time. Yeah.
But it's because the base is strong. You know, whether it's, you know, definitely lower back, definitely abs, everything. It just holds your body up so you feel better about it.
Yeah. I think it's a really good movement, probably underutilized. I know I'd previous to us starting, I really didn't hardly ever do them.
The strongest I've ever felt in my life was my second tour in Iraq. I was doing a lot of lunges, but weighted lunges. And I remember I was reading this workout magazine. It was reps. And so I think I was doing like 25 lunges per leg with like the 25s on and a bar. So that's like 95 pounds, which is pretty good.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're doing, but you know, you was doing sets. I mean, we're doing like 500 lunges to get to.
Right.
But I mean, I was doing maybe, I don't know, let's say 100 lunges with that weight. But I had that base. I remember getting back. And then in the tower, running those hills at the park. I mean, because we had a base.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're reforming that base.
Did you guys do Shiloh Hill?
We did Benelli Park, too. Shiloh was like a joke compared to Benelli.
We never got to go to Benelli because we were always in trouble. Yeah, they always told us, hey, if you guys can shape up, we'll take you to Benelli Park and you can run. And we never got to go.
We had Gino Ramirez was our senior, and we were close to getting the tower record for the mile and a half
combined
average time. And so he just took us to Benelli, and we ran our brains out.
That's great.
And we still didn't get the time.
Oh, that's too bad. You know, you got to pick like a class motto and like me make shirts and all that stuff. Ours was setting records, but it was kind of like a little inside joke. All the records we set were bad. They were all the negative records. They're like... Everything, it was like, we've never had so many ladders dropped in a single tower. You guys hold the record on that. So we owned it.
Yeah, if you guys don't know, Benelli Park, it's outside of Pomona. It's like these rolling hills, but they are some steep hills. Steep hills. And we'd run, it'd probably be maybe anywhere between 3 and 7 miles, maybe, right? Or how?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, something like that.
I don't think it was anything more than 6 or 7.
Did they make you run in cadence when you went out there?
No, it was free running.
Free running, which was great.
What was amazing, though, is to watch, we have some camp guys and some absolute savages, like you had Mike Bickley, Dave Tebow, Noss, like those dudes would just take off and trying to hustle and keep up with them. I mean, you're going to lose your life, dude. You're just going to lose. But it was funny to watch what we always would call as the downhill bandit, dude. The guy who would try to make up like positions on the run, like downhill. Dude,
and you see
him sprinting downhill. Yeah. And then it starts going uphill again and he just gets
drops
dusted.
Off. Yeah.
Stop being a downhill bandit. Everyone would be all pissed off.
That's funny.
Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah, whatever works.
That's awesome.
The downhill bandits.
I hate running downhill. I hate running downhill more than I hate running uphill.
No doubt. It's horrible.
Anyways, but yeah, the base is where it's all at. It's going to get rid of your lower back issues, probably your knee issues, ankle issues, just because when you're strong there, you're going to be strong everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would think, I'm sure people have done studies on it, but we already know that if you do a lot of back squatting and deadlifting, it does boost your testosterone. I would guarantee that this many lunges will probably do the same thing just because it's using that same large muscle group and driving that up and out and letting it be free in your system.
Yeah. What I like about it, it's not a single movement. Cause when I did powerlifting before and I was strong as an ox, I felt like I would die if I ran a mile.
Right.
And like this, when you're halfway through that and my heart rate's at 175, I feel like I'm getting a cardio as well as strength training. So you're building the base, you're building muscular endurance, but I think you're also building like the cardiovascular endurance where you can work hard and do something for a long period of time. So I think that's functional for what we would hopefully be needing to do either on a brush fire, on a commercial building, whatever. It's not one single lift. We're going to have to work like that for 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Under a load.
Right.
Yeah. Logistically, if you're looking to do something like this, what we did is we measured out 50 meters because we do it at the station, so you can't get too far away. So we actually bought one of those rolling tape measures. We bought one at Harbor Freight for like $8. You could do it with a normal tape measure, obviously, but we measured out 50 meters. We marked it. And then we've all been counting how many lunges it takes us to get 50 meters in. And then once you have that count, and it actually turns out to be almost the same for me every time. Every once in a while, I'm one less or one more. But yeah. It's like for me, for example, for me, 50 meters is 45 lunges. So I know if I'm going to get the 400 and I've got to do 360 lunges. So I can go do that anywhere. I don't have to measure out a track if I'm at home. I can just go count those.
Yeah, and I use Google Maps. You can like set a point and it'll tell you how far it is. And so I did that on Google Maps and just set a point and then went to the end of the cul-de-sac and measured out 400. That was pretty easy.
Yeah, that's good.
But yeah. I don't know. What do you got? What do you got?
Yeah, well, how'd you do it?
I did exactly what you said.
You just counted them.
I just did my steps, yeah.
Oh, you did your steps.
I did them in the backyard, yeah.
Oh, on the new grass?
No.
Oh,
no. Get off the grass. Yeah, on the concrete.
Well, how many times? How many times you got to go back and forth to get 50?
It's like two. Well, one. So back and forth and like four more lunges is
50.
50.
I guess that's not too bad.
Yeah.
What I did like about the home journey, it's a 400 straightaway. And so I can see the finish line.
Oh.
And I think it's easier than going eight times back and forth.
Like
I'm going somewhere and I see the finish line and it's getting closer.
And once
every
you make it there, you're done.
And I'm just chugging, dude.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I like that.
At home, I'm like at 17 times.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's devastating, dude.
Well, I don't know. It's just however you put things mentally to get through it.
Yeah.
I put like little slashes. And so one was eight. And then it just, once I got to four, I'm like, oh, I got four more to go. So once I got to 200 meters, I wasn't really looking at it like meters. I was looking at it like slashes. So,
right.
However mentally you got to look at it to make it work for you.
Right.
That's the way you got to do it.
Mental challenge. Yeah. And to throw it out there too, we are wearing like some thin neoprene knee sleeves because when you're not thinking about it and you're trying to go, your knee will hit the ground.
Yep. And when you start getting
it's
tired.
It's supposed to hit the ground.
Yeah. And it's supposed to. And so but when you're not wearing neoprene sleeves and you hit the ground a little too hard, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
So I do think that by wearing, we wear like thin neoprene sleeves, it definitely helps. I think structurally give your knee a little stability, but then more than anything, it's when you clang your knee on the ground.
Yeah. It's almost like a mini knee pad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So we'll let you guys know how it looks 27 days from now.
Yep. We're going to come back and record our experiences over the next 30 days and let you know how we feel, how it went, if we made it. I should say when we made it.
Well, how do you feel right now, Kevin?
I'm tired, dude. My tree trunk legs, dude. I got trunks right now.
I feel pretty good.
You know when you get like a pump, like your leg? Uh-huh. Yeah, my legs are pumped, dude.
I feel pretty good, but last night I woke up. I already told you guys this, but I woke up at like 3 a.m. for a call. And I got up to put my socks on and my legs immediately started cramping up, like to the point where I almost couldn't put my socks on and get on the rig.
Ooh.
So when we came back from that call, I have like some electrolyte powder. So I drank that with a bunch of salt and potassium in it and went back to bed and I was fine. But like this morning and even like right now, if I flex my quads, I can feel like they want to cramp up, like even right now.
Mm. I will say like, I did play soccer, and that was like when you'd play multiple games in a day and they would do PT and they'd do stuff like you felt like, I think your legs do recover better than your arms or your back or whatever.
Yeah.
I think you use them throughout the day. Like you have more of a general thing, but it's like, yeah, I do think that I'm hoping we acclimate, but there's those days where if you did a really hard arm workout or something, like you can't do that again the next day.
Right. There's no way.
Where with the legs, I think like we've been seeing already, we can push through a little soreness and you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing about doing, if you go to do a 400, I would say the first 50 meters is the hardest, followed by the second. So the first 100 meters, feels the worst, and then it stays hard, but it doesn't feel nearly as bad. You kind of get into a rhythm. At least that's the way it feels for me.
And Mike's the finisher, dude. He comes in hot at the end.
Yeah. Once he gets those slashes down, he's getting close to the last few. Turns up the heat.
Hunger.
Dude. I'm that downhill runner.
The downhill bandit.
He's a bandit.
The downhill bandit.
That's funny.
Just finish.
Noel's just a psychopath, dude. He just goes from the beginning, dude.
I was taking mad rest, dude. Mad rest.
Whatever.
I'll say yesterday I had the kids jumping on my legs. Uh-huh. I was laying on the couch, and they, for some reason, I guess they knew that I was sore there. So
they have a sense.
They were jumping on my legs, and I didn't want to say anything because I was happy to have the kids, and it hurt. I was like, well, maybe it's like rubbing the medicine ball on them or something.
Yeah.
But they just wanted to jump and jump. They did it for like 5 minutes.
That's
like,
so funny.
Yeah. Let's go play hide and seek. Just get off me.
Get off.
Anything.
Yeah, I carried the girls upstairs last night to go to bed. And I was like, this is the worst idea of my life. I was like, get down. You're walking off yourself, ladies. I do think that some Tiger Balm or Icy Hot is in my future. Dude. It's going to start smelling like the locker room.
Good idea. Oh, and ice baths, of course. Like we talked about in the previous podcast, that's going to be huge while we do this. Yes. We're definitely going to be doing that every day. In fact, as soon as we're done wrapping this up, we're going to go do it.
And I will say this publicly and on air so that you guys can't deny it now. I'm challenging you guys to something today.
Oh.
We're going to do 2 minutes in the ice. Easy two. I did four yesterday, but I was off duty, so that was all right. And you're doing 2 minutes in the ice. You're getting out. And then when the last guy goes, the first guy's got to go back in for at least 20 seconds.
Oh, the recycle.
Why?
And it's just a mental challenge.
I love it.
It's a mental challenge.
Have you recycled? Have you jumped? Have you got back in after you
Michael
get in?
Michael doesn't know what this is about.
So the people in I'm going to mess up the country, but it doesn't matter because nobody else knows either.
Iceland.
Okay. The people in Iceland. There's huge groups of people out there that during the wintertime or whenever, because I think it's always cold there, they go swim in the ice. It's like a community thing. So there's whole small villages and they just go break up the ice in a lake and they all get in and then they get out. And it's something that they do. They called it recycling. And it's just part of their program because the second time or the third time, if you're that crazy, you get back in, it is that much more shocking and difficult to get back in that cold water.
It's bizarre. But what... I follow the XPT guys, which are like Laird Hamilton and a bunch of those guys. And he's big on the ice bath and on the mental challenge. But he, of course, takes it to the next level. They have an agitator in the ice bath, which stirs the water around.
So it's always moving. So it doesn't,
because you actually form a little bubble of insulation around you and warm you while you're in the ice. They destroy that. And it's supposed to be horrendous.
Yeah.
And then they also go like max effort, like on either a rower or a skier or whatever it is. And like out, like completely out of breath and then get in there. So can you imagine being like waxed out of breath?
And then get in there and get that shock.
And the other thing is they said they recycle. So they go in, they get out and they go in.
Yeah.
And it's more of like the mental challenge.
Right. Well, I'm in.
Today's the day.
We've been publicly challenged.
Done and done.
I'm out.
You didn't even know. You didn't even tell Noel. You wouldn't have said anything about it if Noel didn't tell
if
it.
I didn't explain
and
it.
The rest of you that are thinking this is crazy, but I'm out too.
Oh, man, I love it.
We'll let you know.
Yeah. So we'll be back.
Send pictures.
A couple episodes from now, or maybe even the next episode, depending on how the month goes, but we will update you. In the meantime, find a way to train your mental toughness. Do something every day that is difficult for you to do, difficult for you to commit to, and do it every day for 30 days.
Get it.
Boom.
This is the Fire You Carry podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for listening. We are just getting started, and we would love if you could subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And you can also check out our website for any bio information or any other information on thefireyoucarry.com. Till next time.